We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. You know, the district attorney of Orleans Parish, Jason Williams, he is going on trial in January. He's going on trial for lying to the IRS and about how much money he made. And, you know, voters knew this, that not only was he being investigated, but he had been indicted by a federal grand jury before he ran for district attorney here. He was a New Orleans City Council member, and so when he was elected, the voters who voted for him here in Orleans Parish knew that he had been indicted by a federal grand jury and he was going to have to face trial about being a tax cheat. But they still, the voters here still voted for him to be district attorney. Well, federal prosecutors said that they have all the paperwork to show the court that he spent a lot more money on very lavish things than he reported making. Him and someone who worked with him in his law office, they are both being targeted here. They've both been indicted by a federal grand jury, and prosecutors, as they get ready for the trial coming up in January, they're laying out all of the evidence that they have. And they want to make sure the judge, you know, this is what they do before trials. They tell you, we have this, we have that, we have this, we have that. And one of the things they have is what he spent a lot of money on, very lavish stuff. And the prosecutors are saying, look at the money he spent on this stuff, yet look at how much money he said he made. How much he told the IRS he made, none of this matches up. There's no way he could have enough money to spend on this lavish stuff if he only made this much money that he told the government that he made. And this wasn't just one year. This was year after year after year after year. He's a habitual criminal. The district attorney of Orleans Parish is a habitual criminal year after year after year after year. So, you know, the federal prosecutors have put that in front of the judge here in New Orleans. And the judge overseeing this case, the United States District Judge Martin Feldman. He's presiding over this case, and he will rule on, you know, whether that evidence should be used in the upcoming trial against him. And in my opinion, he should definitely rule, yeah, that evidence should be used. It's incredible when you think about it how the biggest, most important lawyer in New Orleans is a yearly habitual criminal.
But I mean, when you look at everybody else that has been elected officials in the city, does it really surprise you?
No, I mean, our mayor, she owed the IRS over $100,000 while she was running for mayor. But they voted her in. And she, not that long ago, came to an agreement with the IRS, and she paid them about 30% of what she owed them. Her and her husband, who's a lawyer, the mayor of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, her and her husband, they both owed the IRS a bunch of money. And for a long time, too, upwards of a decade. And she finally went, I guess, through one of those, you hear the commercials on our radio station and elsewhere. But hey, do you owe the IRS a lot of money? Well, call us and we'll work with the IRS to get that money reduced, how much you owe. And she owed about $110,000, and she paid about $30,000-something. It must be nice. Could you imagine if every taxpayer in the United States only paid 25% or 30% of what they owed the federal government? So we already have a mayor that had tax issues, not paying the federal government everything her and her husband owed, Letaxa Cantrell, and now we have a district attorney who year after year after year after year, according to the federal government, lied about how much money he made in his private law practice. And this is the latest on that. And again, his trial is in January. And, you know, he's wrapping up his first year as district attorney, and he doesn't prosecute more than half of the cases that the New Orleans police bring to him.
I think
he's let a lot of people out of prison. And Coleman, you think it's because he'll get more votes that way?
Yeah, I think that appeals to certain voters. The fact that, you know, hey, if a family member or a loved one of one of my kids commits a crime, they'll probably get a more lenient charge if we vote this guy in.
That's pathetic.
It sounds like it, but that appeals to some people. You know, some people do believe maybe our criminal justice system is too harsh or unfair. And since this guy is having trouble with the law like us, he can relate. So let's get this guy in who's having his own trouble with the law. Maybe he can relate to our situation and be more lenient with us.
Again, the district attorney of Orleans Parish, Jason Williams, his trial is set for January. And he will be found guilty, and he will lose his job as district attorney of Orleans Parish. And also, we have a New Orleans City Councilman who just got arrested for the second time in a little over a year for DUI, for drinking and driving. He was supposed to last night be part of a debate because he's running for another council seat in a few weeks. But he didn't show up for that debate last night. Jared Brissett, as his career in politics will come to an end as well. I mean, getting arrested twice in a little over a year for driving under the influence. So we've got some characters running the city of New Orleans. Actually, we've got some criminals. Our city is being run partly by criminals. But you know what? I've lived here for a long time, and I've always said the good of this city outweighs the bad. And And I firmly believe that. All right, coming up on the show this morning, we have a follow-up on the shorts that the Hooters waitresses are wearing, because the Louisiana Hooters location waitresses, they made a statement. You know, a bunch of the Hooters girls weren't happy with the new, tighter, smaller bottoms they have to wear. Well, Louisiana Hooters has made an announcement. Stay tuned for that, and we got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. So, something wild made some news over the last couple of days, and you wonder how it actually happened. A couple of days ago, people in Spokane, Washington, were watching a newscast, and during the evening broadcast, the weather report came on. And while the weather woman, the for the television station there, while she was doing her weather report on television, all of a sudden pornography popped up on the screen. And it lasted about 13 seconds. And then they got back to their news broadcast. It happened on Sunday. It was their Sunday 6 p.m. newscast. And I just couldn't imagine if I was watching a local newscast here in New Orleans, if I'm watching the weather report, I'm watching Chris Franklin, the chief meteorologist over Channel 4 here. Chris listens to the show, our show. I couldn't imagine, you know, he's talking about the Doppler and what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico and if anything crazy is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, boom, pornography just pops up there. Well, there's really nothing forming in the Gulf of Mexico right now. We don't have to keep our eye on anything for the next week or two. But thing is, your eyes would be, what? And, you know, when that happened out in Spokane, Washington on Sunday, some viewers called the police. They called the cops. They're watching the news. Here's the weather. And then all of a sudden, boom, 13 seconds of pornography comes on. And from what I understand, it was hardcore.
Yeah, it was pretty graphic. Well, what got me interested in it was, why were the police called, right? Because when I saw the story, and I was like, why did people feel like they had to call the police just because they happened to accidentally see some porn on television? Clearly, it wasn't intentional, but there was an investigation, and they even got the Special Victims Unit involved. So when I actually saw, I went on Reddit and I actually found the real clip, like the actual porn clip uncensored, and that it made sense. See, to the untrained eye, it looked like a guy was sneaking into a kid's room and diddling a kid. But for the a porn person, you could tell it was a fetish porn. Like, you could tell, you know, the woman was an adult pretending to be a kid, this, that, and other. But if you're not familiar with porn and you saw that, you thought a guy was about to, like a pedo was about to creep and molest the kid. So, yeah, I was like, oh, that's why they called the police. But, you know, that's just, some people are just into that kind of stuff. They dress up and wear diapers and all that type of stuff. And,
well, I could see why that would freak people out.
Yeah, if you didn't know what you were looking at, it looked like somebody was about to get diddled.
Well, the police are now investigating how that popped up during the local newscast, their weather segment. The vice president and chief communications officer at the company that owns that television station said, we apologized to our viewers last night during our newscast. Those of us here at our television station want to apologize for something that happened in our 6 p.m. newscast. An inappropriate video aired in the first part of the show. We are diligently working to make sure something like this doesn't happen again. How possibly, other than someone who already works there, putting that in there, how possibly could that happen?
That's what I'm thinking.
If it's not an inside job.
It has to be, right? The way it all seems set up, it has to be somebody that works there, which is, why is it so hard to figure out which dude that was? Like, just check the key cards and see who came in the production room that day or something.
Well, now the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, they'll look into this, and they could very well fine this television station, the company who owns the television station. And this isn't the first time this has happened. 6 years ago, a Virginia television station, faced similar charges after it accidentally broadcast sexually explicit content on the evening news. But I saw this story, and it's been going around, and the only thing popping into my head is how does that happen? And then you start thinking about it, and you would think it had to be someone who, if they didn't work there, they had access to all the buttons you push,
right,
inside of that local television station.
Unless somebody was in a production room and he was watching porn when he was supposed to be paying attention to something else, and he happened to press the wrong button while he was on the clock and didn't even know it. That's what I think happened. It looked like Some people say this has to be intentional. It was a gag. It was a prank. Somebody was trying to, you know, sabotage the weather report or sabotage the station. Something like on Fight Club, right? But it could also be some dude was just in a production room. He was playing around on his personal computer. He was watching some porn on his personal computer, just passing by time, and just happened to hit the wrong button, and that popped up on the weather report.
Boy, but but anyways, I wanted to bring that up because I couldn't imagine, again, here in New Orleans, watching the local news, the weather comes on, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of that weather report, pornography starts playing.
If you watch the news with your kids, I can see how that would be horrible. But if I was at home alone and I'm watching the news and porn just popped up on the news, I'd be more interested in it.
But like, that, right. Yeah, but that's you, Cole.
I know. That's just a different kind of cat.
Yeah, that's...
I might tune in tomorrow. I want to see if it happens again. I bet you their ratings are better.
Well, hopefully we'll figure out, they will figure out how this happened, and that will make news as well, because I want to know. I want to know how something like that could happen. And I can't imagine it happening any other way than someone who is connected to that television station somehow, because they know how everything works. Someone with that station, you would think, had to be involved. All right, we have a lot to do on the show this morning. There's an update on the Hooters girls' bottoms, and I'm talking about the shorts they wear. It's a follow-up, because last week we told you about how Hooters, they decided to change the shorts that their Hooters girls wear, and they're much smaller, skimpier, and a bunch of the Hooters girls complained about it. Some said, "No, these are great. I'm making more money." Well, the Louisiana Hooters locations, they released a statement about that yesterday, and we'll tell you what they had to say. Also coming up on the show, the first parade Saturday night in a year and a half, the Crew of Boo Parade is 2 nights away, and the people around New Orleans who are in charge are saying this will have a lot to do with whether we have Mardi Gras in 2022, you know, 3.5-4 months from now. Isn't that interesting how something that's happening Saturday night could affect something that's happening 3.5 months from now, all because of the coronavirus, obviously. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I just saw on the news in San Diego, California, the intestinal infection, shigellosis, is spreading among homeless people there. And they talked to a homeless spokesperson, and he asked for spare change.
I didn't know there was a such thing as a homeless spokesperson.
Yeah, I saw someone who I guess speaks for, at least there in San Diego. And they said, "Well, we talked to someone," and they put the mic in his face, and he said, "Hey, got any change? Got a dollar?" It's Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And as a big Sopranos fan, I saw The Many Saints of Newark, the movie, the prequel to The Sopranos. And it was all right. It wasn't anything fantastic. It wasn't anything to say, oh my God, you have to see this if you like The Sopranos. It was all right.
I remember a few weeks ago you was debating on which one of your friends were right when they were arguing about the movie on Facebook. You said there was one friend that thought it was a super, like a blockbuster hit, and another person that said it was a complete failure and a disappointment. Where do you stand now that you've seen it?
And you're right about that, Coleman, because the movie opened a couple of Friday nights ago. And I just happened to be scrolling on Facebook the next day, that Saturday, and two of my Facebook friends, they were pretty much right next to each other as I'm scrolling down. One of them said, if you're a Sopranos fan, you have to see The Many Saints of Newark. It is fantastic. And then like the next post, the person said, I'm a huge Sopranos fan. I saw The Many Saints of Newark. I was disappointed. And I came in here on Monday and I said, who do I believe? I mean, it was all right. It wasn't anything spectacular.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't totally suck either.
It was mediocre. It was just a good movie.
I think mediocre is a good word.
Okay.
For it.
All right. Mediocre.
And the reason I brought that up is because there's a story going around how back when they were making the television show The Sopranos, that the actor who played Tony Soprano, the late James Gandolfini, he used to freak out a lot when they handed him the scripts, and he didn't like some of the stuff that was in the script. He would get into it with the man who created the show, David Chase. They said he'd get into it with him right there. And he'd say, I don't like this. And that happened on several occasions. One specific occasion that happened on was during season 6 when they were filming. So it was towards the end of the run. Gandolfini got a script that said his character, Tony Soprano, is supposed to go into a bathroom and pleasure himself. And evidently, he freaked. James Gandolfini threw a tantrum, they said. And he didn't want to do it. He didn't understand why they were putting it and he went back and forth with David Chase. And here's the interesting part of that story. He ended up filming the scene. David Chase won.
All right.
He said, hey, pal, look how much we're paying you.
That would have been my argument from the beginning.
David Chase won. But James Gandolfini filmed the scene, and the scene ended up on the cutting room floor. It never made it.
Oh.
It never made it into an episode of The Sopranos.
So he did it for nothing.
How do you think that made actor James Gandolfini feel?
I mean, other than feeling himself, maybe he botched the scene on purpose so it wouldn't be done. Maybe when he filmed the scene, he purposely did a horrible job acting it out that they said, all right, we got to cut it from we got to cut it. He didn't do a great job.
Well, they said, you know, a lot of times on the set of The Sopranos, because I was a big fan of that show. It used to come on Sunday nights. My friends would come over to the house. It was an event when The Sopranos came on Sunday nights, the new episode. So I've read, ever since the show ended, I've read stuff about the actors, and when they would talk about filming the show, and you know, for the most part, most of the things I've read, I mean, the actors, they all loved James Gandolfini. They all said, you know, what a cool guy he was and what a cool guy he was to work with. They said he loved to jerk around on set, but I guess this time he wasn't jerking around, but he ended up.
I wonder when actors reach that threshold when, all right, you first hear about a television show and you go audition and you're just thankful to have an opportunity to get the job, right? You just want to audition. You just want the part. You're crossing your fingers. You're reading the script. You're doing tape. You're sending in headshots, right? Then they finally give you the call like, hey, we're going to choose you to play this role. And then you're ecstatic. I wonder how long is it between being, you know, just doing whatever the director says and the character says because you're playing a part to, you know what, now I have creative control over the character. I don't want to film this. I think this is the wrong direction. Like, how does the actor get to that point where they can start telling the creators of the character which direction do they think the character should go?
I'll tell you how long in this case with The Sopranos. After the first year, when a lot of people were watching it and talking about it, because James Gandolfini, if you remember, if you used to watch The Sopranos, there was a pause during their run. And there was a pause. A couple of the actors had health issues, but one of the pauses was because James Gandolfini was holding out for a bigger contract because he said, you have to pay me more money because I'm going to be typecast and I'm never going to be able to be in anything popular again because people are going to see me and they're going to say, that's Tony Soprano.
Yeah, I can see that.
So there was a pause for a while they were filming The Sopranos because the actor James Gandolfini was holding out for a bigger contract. And he also said that he used to shower sometimes after filming scenes for The Sopranos because he felt dirty. But I thought this particular one was interesting, how he threw a tantrum over his self-pleasuring scene. He didn't want to do it. He ended up doing it, and they
cut it out anyway.
They cut it out. It ended up on the cutting room
floor.
Dims
the brakes.
All right, coming up next, we got the Big O. I still got this Hooters update we've got to get to. Hang out with us. A lot to do on the show this morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And since it's a little bit after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. The Big O is a segment I always want to get your take on. It's something that makes me say, huh? And we're now, a little more than 48 hours away from the first parade here in the city of New Orleans in a year and a half. It's our first parade since Mardi Gras 2020, late March of 2020. It's our first parade since then, all because of the damn virus. And the crew of Boo, it's the annual Halloween parade. And evidently, everyone in the parade is going to have to wear a mask. And I know it's Halloween, but we're not talking about those types of masks. But officials here in the city of New Orleans said that they want everyone who's going to watch the parade roll to wear a mask Saturday night. And the crew of Boo, this is the one that goes through part of the French Quarter. It goes through part of the, it hits the CBD, and then it goes through the Warehouse District. It's a downtown parade. And they're saying that after this parade is over, in the weeks after this parade Saturday night, that they're going to be, you know, checking the numbers, the statistics, how many people are going to the hospital. And they're saying if the coronavirus numbers go up, if they rise again, that could mean there will be no Mardi Gras in 2022. They would cancel Mardi Gras for the second year in a row.
Oh.
And look, it doesn't matter how you feel about Mardi Gras. Obviously, Mardi Gras is the biggest event. It's the biggest deal in the city of New Orleans every year, where literally a million people come into town from out of town to enjoy the Mardi Gras festivities. But the reason I'm bringing this up this morning in the Big O segment is because we're still, 3.5 months away from Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras season. Don't you think that that's a little bit early to say, well, we could cancel Mardi Gras again if the coronavirus numbers, if we see a rise after this Crew of Boo parade, which is 3.5 months before Mardi Gras? I mean, I think that it's a bit too early. And look, I know that city officials have to be out in front of this. I know that they have to tell all of the crews, you have to be ready to roll or not. And you can't wait till the last minute to do that. I understand that. But don't you think three and a half months is a little bit early after one parade that's not that big, by the way? I mean, the Crew of Boo is cool, but it's not a massive parade. I mean it's nothing like, you know, the big Mardi Gras.
Well, you can use the Crew of Boo to make projections. So let's say the Crew of Boo rolls. They see how many people attended. They see how long the parade was, how long people stayed out after the parade. And then when they look at the numbers of how many people were hospitalized, they can determine whether or not, all right, if the Crew of Boo is this big, we can project that by Mardi Gras, it could be 10 times bigger. So everything that they project, you just add times 10 to it. So if this many people caught coronavirus at the Crew of Boo, then we could project that this many people will catch it during Mardi Gras. If this many people didn't wear a mask during the Crew of Boo, then we could project that this many people won't wear a mask during Mardi Gras. See, what they're doing is they're going to use it as a trial run and try to multiply how bigger it would be if it was an actual real Mardi Gras season parade.
You know, with the rules here in New Orleans as they are right now, how you need a vaccination card or a proof of a negative coronavirus test over the last 3 days to get into it's supposed to be all places here in New Orleans. By the way, which it's not. I live in this city, and there are some places where I go and they ask me for my vaccination card or my my proof of a negative coronavirus test over the last 72 hours to get in. There are some places they don't ask anything. But that is adding to hurting businesses big time. I mean, I've mentioned there's a couple of places that I like to go to lunch that I haven't been able to go in a couple of months, and I won't be able to go for I don't know how long because they have closed their dining rooms and they only are open for their drive-through, and they're only open for I don't even know what else. Just the drive-through is open, and so I'm walking around a lot. I've been in between cars for a while. You can't walk up to a drive-through. So there's a couple of places that I like to eat lunch that I can't get into. You know, even Popeyes. There's a couple of Popeyes here in New Orleans, whether it's the one on St. Charles Avenue or the one on Canal Street. You're not allowed to sit down in there and eat. It's only takeout. You could only walk into Popeyes, get it to go, and leave. There are people that are sitting out front of Popeyes on their steps, leaning against the building, eating Popeyes chicken because you can't eat inside the restaurants.
I keep telling you, John, just get an Uber and tell the Uber to go through the drive-thru for you. So the two things that concerns about me about this Saturday's parade is it's a Halloween parade, so most people are going to be dressed up, or a lot of people are going to be dressed up, especially if they're down with the Halloween spirit. So how are they going to know who's wearing masks and who isn't under the Halloween mask that they're wearing? It's kind of going to be hard to determine how many people wore a mask, how many people didn't, if they have a Halloween mask over their head, right? And then two, I wonder if there's a range or a ratio of how much the numbers are supposed to go up that's in the danger zone. Because anytime there's a large event, of course, some people might catch coronavirus and go to the hospital, but is there like a limit to where, oh, only 5% caught it, so it's not that big of a deal, or, oh my God, 5% of the people caught it, so we have to shut down Mardi Gras. Like, what is the ratio and the number of how many people is supposed to, or how much the numbers are supposed to go up before they decide, yeah, maybe we should cancel Mardi Gras coming up?
But I just thought it was a bit much to say this crew of Boo Parade in a couple of nights on Saturday night will determine what the next Mardi Gras carnival season is going to look like. And we're still three and a half months away from that.
Yeah, I would think the Saints home games would be a determination whether or not we should have Mardi Gras. We've been having sports events, shows. We just had NOLA by NOLA down here, and everything seems to be okay. So I wonder why a crew of Boo is the determining factor of Mardi Gras when we already had other events going on. We had the Dome opening at Champion Square. It was a pretty good event. You know what I'm saying? Everything seemed to work out pretty fine.
Well, do you think, if you're listening right now, a couple of questions for you. Do you agree or disagree with me when I say, really, something that's 3.5 months away is going to determine what's going to happen with Mardi Gras? Don't you think that's a bit much? And are you going to go to Crew of Boo on Saturday night? Our first parade in a year and a half. Text us 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one or two sentences. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. In Granite Bay, California, someone stole a woman's toilet. Yeah, they robbed her house, and one of the things they stole was her toilet. She called the cops. The cops showed up, and the cops at the crime scene said they had nothing to go on. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Our text line is not working properly. There is something wrong with our text line this morning. Both Coleman and I sent it texts, and we're not receiving anything. Every once in a while, there's a technical difficulty here. And Coleman, can you fix that?
I can try, but don't bank on it.
We always enjoy your texts, and we always enjoy reading the good ones on the show.
I enjoy reading the bad ones, too, actually.
And give us a minute. Un momento, por favor. And we're working on it. We're trying to get that straightened out. Hey, I have an update on a story that we did last week on the show. We were talking about how Hooters, the restaurant, changed the uniform bottoms, the shorts that their waitresses, the Hooters girls, wear. And many Hooters girls took to TikTok to complain because the bottoms that they're switching to are skimpier, they're smaller, they're tighter. And a lot of the Hooters girls were not happy about that. And they expressed that on TikTok. Although there were a few Hooters girls that said, I have no problem with this, I'm making more money. They changed from the orange short shorts, the tight short shorts, which we've all known and loved. They changed from that to basically a bikini type bottom.
A little bit. It's more
Bit more than a bikini type bottom. I don't know exactly what you'd call them.
I saw it, and I think the TikTok girls who were complaining about it kind of over-exaggerated how bad the shorts really were. They made it seem like they were just wearing all-out thongs. And it's just like biker shorts. It's sort of like something like a volleyball team would wear, or a swim team, like a female volleyball team. It's something like that. Yeah, it is skimpier than the original shorts, but it's not like a G-string, you know? So I think they kind of over-exaggerated. And I also noticed that all the women that were complaining about the new vertical cut shorts, they didn't really have that much ass to begin with. They were kind of frail-looking, thin women. It wasn't like they were like big bottom, baby got back type women. They were kind of skimpy. So I'm like, you don't even count. So why are you complaining about these shorts?
Coleman, when we go to Hooters.
I love Hooters.
Yeah, I'm a Hooters fan too. When you and I go, have we seen around here at least, the one in Metairie, the one on the West Bank, have we ever seen any really, really big bottoms? I mean,
not to my liking, but there are some thick women there. But, you know, I prefer.
That's what you prefer. You
know? But, yeah, there are some good, there's some nice looking thick ones there every once in a while.
Well, I have an update on this story. Louisiana Hooters locations will not change iconic uniforms. They released a statement. Hooters of Louisiana LLC, that's the company that owns the Hooters in Louisiana, I guess. They are one of many ownership groups pushing back on the new uniform modifications. In their statement, they said, and I'm quoting, Hooters of Louisiana LLC, who owns and operates 9 Hooters locations since 1991 in New Orleans, Slidell, Baton Rouge, Bossier City, Houma, and Lafayette, will not be changing their iconic uniform shorts or tops that have made the brand universally famous. I guess that's why Hooters, I guess the company above Hooters of Louisiana. They wanted to update the look. They wanted to freshen up the look.
Man, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you need a fresh start.
But they said that they are not changing the uniform shorts that have made the brand universally famous. The famous uniform has been worn in all Louisiana Hooters locations for the last 30 years, and we gave no consideration to changing this uniform, and there are no plans to change the uniform in the future.
See, if I own Hooters of Louisiana, I wouldn't say we're not going to change the old uniforms or mandate to the new ones. I would give them options. I would say I'm going to let our employees choose which uniform they want to wear, which ones they feel comfortable in.
You could either go with the long-standing iconic short shorts, or you can get skimpier.
Yeah, you could get if you're a big thick chick and you want to wear the skimpier shorts because you get more tips, knock yourself out. If you want the traditional on short uniforms, knock yourself out. I'm all about options and everybody being happy.
You don't think there should be one standard uniform for all Hooters and all over the country?
I think the entire Hooters staff should wear the booty shorts, not just the waitresses. I'm talking about the cooking staff, the managers. Everybody should wear the shorts.
Yeah, but if you're cooking, you know, if a little bit of hot grease comes off the grill or something, and you know, it could burn you in the thigh.
You can still wear an apron. You just got to wear the booty shorts.
I guess you're right. So, Hooters in other states maybe going skimpier with the bottoms, but here in Louisiana, they're not. They're staying with what they've been wearing for 30 years.
All right, but you're comfortable with me wearing my booty shorts to work still, right?
No.
Oh, shucks. Well, let me go change.
Coming up next on the show, we have another stand-up comedian coming on the show who's going to be in town this weekend. I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. There's a story about a fish that I have to tell. I've been talking about it, and someone texted in and said, you never told that story about the fish. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, there are some funny stand-up comics performing on the West Bank at Teatro Wago Theater. Our friends at the Jefferson Performing Arts Society are throwing this show tomorrow night and Saturday night. And one of the comedians who's going to be there is with us right now, Greg Hall. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. What a wonderful studio audience you have.
Yeah, we pack them in. So Greg, you're performing, tomorrow night, Friday night, and Saturday night at Teatro Wago. How's everything going with you, as we're hopefully winding down all of this craziness over the last year and a half with coronavirus?
You know, it's going great. I live in Nashville, and I've got friends who are in, you know, big bands, and of course they didn't play for like a year and a half because you can't take out semi trucks and lighting and trust people and stuff. But I'm just a guy, so I can go play resorts and stuff like that. So it hadn't been, hideous for me as hideous as it has been for some of my musician friends. You know, I've got to go out and snag a few gigs where they were just kind of shut off for a year and a half.
Yeah, it's obviously been devastating for a lot of people. I can't believe that this happened. I can't believe, you know, I started thinking, you know, what could take down the United States of America? I never, ever thought that a virus could basically shut our country down for a year and a half.
Yeah, these are wacky times, and they seem to get more surreal as each month passes. I'm speechless in regard to how we're dealing with some things. So interject here and go a direction that I can follow. But yeah, it has been a crazy ass, you know, year.
What has left you pretty much the most speechless about how this is being handled?
Well, this is just me. I just think, you know, I was supposed to go play the Hotel Atlantis in the Bahamas. It's a gig I've done every year for 8-9 years, and it's a great gig. Get to go there for 2 weeks and stuff. And, you know, I had to jump through a bunch of, you know, hoops to go. And 2 days before I was about to leave, this was 3 or 4 weeks ago, they told me, you know, that my Atlanta shut down due to COVID for a few weeks. Yet at our border in the last, you know, 7 months, over 1 million people have come in. We got 50,000 Haitians at Del Rio, and they're not getting checked. You know, I can't even go play a gig at the Atlantis, but, you know, 1 million people can come in unvaccinated to the country. So kind of the dichotomy and hypocrisy of a bunch of this is, you know, it's just a little weird to me.
Maybe you should go down to the border and do a couple of outdoor gigs for a...
Yeah, I've been learning a second and third language to go do that. And so these are just crazy times. And I don't know. I've flown a few times, and I just, you know, I just, life goes on. And God bless, you know, I know it's real, and I know people pass from it and stuff, but boy, we sure shut down a country and an economy, it seems.
We're talking with Greg Hall. He's a comedian. He's also a songwriter, and he's performing this weekend, Friday, tomorrow night, and Saturday night at Teatro Wego Theater in West Wego. A little bit different performing in West Wego compared to the Bahamas, Greg. I mean, I know West Wego's been compared to a few things, but it's a little bit of a different gig for you than being in the Bahamas for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but buddy, I played a place in West Virginia last week with an 8-tooth minimum. So, you know, they flossed with a number 2 pencil. So I'm West Wego is going to be like going to MIT after that. So this is going to be great.
So Greg, how long have you been performing? How long have you been doing stand-up comedy?
My gosh, I've been doing stand-up since like 1999, but I've been playing music in bars since, I don't know, I think my first pro gig was the mid-80s. I can't believe I got old. I think I'm the last of the baby boomers, the youngest of the baby boomers, and the last of the old hippies. And, you know, I went to a Van Halen concert when I was 18, and all of a sudden I'm a member of AARP. So, you know, I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, time does fly, and I'm convinced the older you get, the faster the time goes. So you started out as a musician, and then you kind of added comedy to your routine?
Yeah, I started out as a solo act in Texas, and I would you know, play ski resorts in New Mexico and Colorado and stuff in my 20s. And I would cut up between songs. And for a solo act, I was fairly funny cutting up between songs. But then I tried stand-up on a dare in, like, 99. And stand-up was a whole different animal than just cutting up between songs. And it kind of intrigued me, and I just started doing it more, and bookings came in, and it was, you know, I didn't have to babysit a band or stuff like that. And the difference between an unfamous songwriter and an unfamous comic is an unfamous comic gets better hotels. And so that was a good thing.
Greg, do you find it more difficult now to write and tell jokes than you did 5-10 years ago with the cancel culture that's out there? You know, yesterday we had on Jim Jefferies. He's going to be in New Orleans.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be in New Orleans this weekend. And I was talking to him about that, and you know, he said if people want to try to cancel me, there's so many things that I've said in the past, you know, just go for it. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe lesser known comics, maybe that's not a bad thing for people to come after you, because then it would spread your name around if people are trying to cancel you.
You know, it's so weird. It's human nature to, there can be 100 people in a room and 99 of them can love you and one person won't. And sometimes we'll chase that one person across three state lines to find out why they didn't like us when we're ignoring the 99 that did. And, I'm just glad I grew up in a time where, you know, young men knew how to mow lawns and work on their 10 speeds and change the spark plugs in their car and all that. And I'm just thankful, you know, for the that I grew up during the time I did. And I just think it's nonsense out there. People are just too sensitive, and it's starting to just get laughable to a point. You know, you can't please all the people all the time. All I can do is just, kind of please me and be as kind as I can be. And that's about it. It's like I say, it's just getting more strange out there by the month. And it's just crazy to observe, but it's what it is.
Hey, Greg, now all you said, you use an acoustic guitar, right? And you said you started out doing music before you did comedy, right?
Yeah.
Do you find it better to write songs with a more comedic taste to it than it was like writing songs? Like, did you do cover songs? Did you do original songs? And like, which one did you prefer?
Well, I do original songs, and I get to write with some of the, being in Nashville, I get to write with, some of the best songwriters in the world, which is fun. And I still like writing, a good tear-jerking love song, but the comedy songs are kind of fun too. So as long as I'm creating and having fun doing it, I don't care what direction I go. As long as I just, pick up the thing and write every now and again, it's good. Like I did my first music album in 10 years. I had years ago as a singer songwriter, I had 6 albums out that sold wow. well over 9 dozen copies over a 6-year period. And so I put out my first music album about a year in 10, 12 years, about a year ago. And that was fun because I got to write with some of the greatest writers in the world. And then I got to throw on some on there that I'd written alone. But I like comedy. The difference between comedy and music shows is, most songwriters, they don't really look at the crowd. You know, they'll glance at them every now and again. But, man, as a comic, you got to walk out there and you got to let everyone in the room just look as deep into you as they want to. And that's what I love, the connection in stand-up. There's more of a connection in the comedy than there is in the music. And it's more inclusive when you get, when you get the crowd involved, that's where the magic is for me.
Well, Greg, last question for you. Do you think we'll get back to a time when people weren't so offended by some things? And, I blame social media for the whole cancel culture situation, because before social media, if people didn't like something, they would either just not watch it anymore or they might write a letter to a television station or a radio station. And it was no big deal. But now with social media, you've got people, they get together and then they put things in front of, people's faces, your boss's faces, and then they have to react to it. Do you think we'll ever get back to a time where people are like, look, it's a stand-up comedian. If you don't like what he says, just don't pay attention to him. Don't try to cancel him. You think we'll ever get back to those days?
Well, everything's cyclical. So I hope this burns itself out soon. But I'm not a Nostradamus in regard to how crazy or normal this world's going to get in the coming year. I think it's going to get a little weirder before it gets back to that. But I actually don't give a crap these days. And, you know, the social media thing, you know, you got to – people can be real tough guys in their anonymity and be real brave when they're just throwing words out there. But you know, half of them can't change a tire on their car if they had a flat. Speaking of tires, I'm looking forward to driving across the Huey Long Bridge.
Yeah, that used to be a lot more fun than it is these days, but that is pretty wild.
Well, I get to go through the John Dillinger Tollway when I outside of Nashville, and then I'll come to the Huey Long Bridge. You know, I grew up in Texas, and man, I heard of Huey Long a long time ago. He was like a, you know, like a Robin Hood, like a kind of a
the kingfish.
The kingfish. I Googled him last night and was, and last time I was in New Orleans, I think Farm Aid was in New Orleans in '95, either '95 or '96, and I went to the Superdome, and that was a lot of fun. So it's been a long time, and I guess I need to learn how to pronounce Metairie.
You just did it. You just said it correctly. Good job.
It?
Yeah, Metairie. Is that easy?
Really? Wow. Well, y'all came highly recommended, and I've heard really nice things about this theater that I'm going to, and man, I'm excited.
Well, the people that put on this show, the Jefferson Performing Arts Society, they're great folks, and they do a lot around here. And this weekend should be very fun at the Teatro Wego Theater there in West Wego. You're performing Greg Hall. There's a couple of other comics on the bill. It's tomorrow night. And it's Saturday night, and you know, if you're listening and you're looking for something to do and you want to laugh, I highly recommend it. And Greg Hall, we appreciate you coming on our show this morning.
John, thank you all very much, and I look forward to the drive. It's about 7 hours from here, and I'm gonna knock out five of them today. Grab me a hotel and pull into town tomorrow morning, and I'm looking forward to the sights and sounds. Can I get some conch fritters? You got to recommend some food.
Well, this isn't Key West, so I don't know about the conch, but you could get some fantastic gumbo. Make sure you have a big bowl of gumbo when you get into town here.
I will, John. And man, thank you for this. And I hope you guys have a great day.
All right, go knock them dead tomorrow night and Saturday night, Greg Hall.
You got it, my friend. Bye bye.
All right, and go. If you're looking for something to do, get out, go laugh. It's tomorrow night and Saturday night at Teatro Wego Theater in West Wego. Greg Hall, along with a couple of other comics. It'll be fun. From Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So, a paramedic in North Carolina made news because he went fishing recently and he caught a 500-pound hammerhead shark off the coast of North Carolina. A 500-pound hammerhead shark. And he reeled it in. He had three friends with him, because I don't think one fisherman, one guy could take in a 500-pound fish.
And I find out that most fishermen don't fish alone anyway.
But I couldn't believe it when I saw it. His name's Blake Cochran. And he says the biggest shark I've caught up to this point was like 4 feet. And this one, when I pulled it in, it was insane.
So he catches sharks.
When this one, Coleman, was 13 feet 6 inches long, and it weighed in between 500 and 700 pounds.
All right. But did he release it, or did he take it home, fry it, grill it, and eat it?
I don't think do people eat shark that way?
I'm quite sure somebody does.
They usually, he says, him and his friends usually go fishing along the North Carolina coast once a month. Again, he said, quote, it was pretty heavy. It took 2 to 3 people to reel that one in. It doesn't say here in the story if they released it or if they kept it.
Aww.
It doesn't say, but wow. I mean, imagine going fishing and there's a 500 to 700 pound shark that's on your fishing pole. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. This has to do with 3 local New Orleanians, a monument, a toilet. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. This is actually a follow-up to a story we did on the show a couple of months back. New Orleans prosecutors refuse charges against trio linked to plot to use Confederate monument as toilet.
That's a lot to take in.
Coleman, you remember we did this story. There were 3 people who live in New Orleans, and they were charged with going to Selma, Alabama, stealing a monument to Confederate President Jefferson Davis, and then defecating and urinating on it. When we told you about that story, we told you that the New Orleanians said, not only aren't we guilty of this, we never were in Selma, Alabama. Well, now New Orleans prosecutors have dropped the case against 3 locals linked to the unusual ransom plot centering on threats to urinate and defecate on a stolen Jefferson Davis monument.
Well, I'm glad the case is the only thing that dropped.
There were 3 locals, 2 men and 1 woman. They were each arrested back in April on allegations that they were in possession of the Jefferson Davis Memorial Chair, that monument, after it had been stolen from a cemetery in Selma, Alabama. But earlier this week, prosecutors here in New Orleans said they were refusing the charges. Now, one of the 3 is still facing charges in Alabama that he traveled there and stole that monument, a 500-pound stone relic chair, which is estimated to be worth $500,000.
Cha-ching.
His name is Jason Warnick, and he's the one who says he's never even been to Selma, Alabama. So he doesn't know why he has been charged with this. His attorney this week said, quote, we said all along that there is no indication our clients were in the possession of this or any stolen item. No crime has been committed here. And while we recognize this matter is ongoing in the state of Alabama, we are certainly hopeful that the district attorney there will likewise recognize this. That chair, the Jefferson Davis monument, the 500-pound chair, was apparently taken from a cemetery in Selma, Alabama in March. And these 3 New Orleanians, these three locals were arrested in April. After this monument was stolen, a group that called itself White Lives Matter issued threats to use the chair as a toilet if its owners, the United Daughters of the Confederacy, did not hang a banner containing words from a Black Liberation Army activist outside the organization's headquarters up in Richmond, Virginia.
So where's the chair now? You know, possession is 9/10 of the law.
There was a $5,000 reward, Coleman, that was publicly offered for the recovery of the chair. Authorities received a tip that the chair was being held inside of a storage room in the Marigny. Where Jason Warnick worked. I guess in a tattoo shop. And he said, no, I never, this was such a bizarre case. Police ultimately recovered the chair in St. Claude here after someone sent the chair's GPS coordinates to the United Daughters of the Confederacy.
How the hell did the chair get a GPS locator tracker on it? That's amazing.
Well, someone did steal the chair, but it wasn't Jason Warnick.
The fact that they had a GPS,
and the two other people, locals here, that were arrested for it.
The fact that they had a GPS locator on the chair, it seems like somebody's trying to frame somebody else.
How bizarre. Well, the New Orleans prosecutors who refused charges against the local trio here linked to plotting to use the Jefferson Davis Confederate monument that they stole as a toilet. Man, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Well, that was dumb.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.